Hello, everyone. Welcome to Exposé, where we turn the light on Christ. How have you been finding the Prodigal Father series? I hope you've been blessed by them. Would you like to say a word to those who have been following us and anyone joining for the very first time, Peter?
If you're joining us for the very first time on Exposé, we welcome you. And for those who've been with us on this journey through the Prodigal Father series, we also say you're welcome to this new episode of Exposé.
Last week we went on the identity, as we tried to bring out identity in the story. So what do you want to say about it before we move on to today's series?
Yeah, on the last episode of Exposé, we made a major point that the whole foundation of sin is identity. And we looked at the fact that the younger brother wasn't just on a journey of trying to spend his inheritance. It was beyond that. That's too simplistic to think about. In reality, it wasn't a journey of trying to define himself by using that journey. And how do we know that? Because the last verse we read said he came to himself. So we knew it was all about identity. That was where we stopped on last episode.
Have we explored everything about identity? And where does that identity take us today?
Yeah, we see... there's something that we would have to look at today on before we go to the next verse on this Luke 15, because you see, it's as if we were tied up to this point where he came to himself. If I come to you and I advertise a medication for you to use, and I say I'm selling a particular medication, people wouldn't buy into what I'm selling until I tell you the implication of not having that medication. And I tell you that this medication, if you have it, is going to solve this problem in your life. And I think today we have to really focus on why do we need to have a Christ-centered identity? Why is it significant? Why is it important? I mean, what are the dangers of having a non-Christ-centered identity? So that's what we want to explore today. And I think that's going to make it a lot of sense to us as we go through this Prodigal Father series.
Are you sure that we can still find that the Christ-centered identity in the story of the
younger brother? You see, like we said, it's all about identity. Humanity has become a genius in trying to use everything around to cover up who they really are. And it has started right from the time of Adam. You see, when God showed up in the Garden of Eden, after Adam fell, Adam already had himself covered up. And you see, it's began from Adam and it's all gone through all generations. We use everything around us to define ourselves. And what's the danger of having a non-Christ-centered identity? Now, we're going to have a look at Proverbs 18.
I was saying we should bring it on.
Yeah, Proverbs 18, verse 10. Now, if you have your Bible or you don't, you can follow us as we go through. The prodigal son came to himself. Now, Proverbs 18, verse 10, I'm going to read that now. So if you are there, you can join us. You can read it if you found it.
The name of the Lord is a strong tower.
Okay.
The righteous runs into it and is safe.
Now, that's Proverbs 18:10. It says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Now, we know this scripture very well. I mean, if you're a Bible reader, you know this scripture. But let's backtrack on the verse before verse 10. What does it say?
Verse 9.
Verse 9. Now, Proverbs 18:9. What does it say?
He also that is slothful in his work.
Yeah.
His brother to him that is a great waster.
Now it says, if anyone is lazy in his work, the scripture says he's the same family member to someone who destroys. So the Bible is saying, well, you need to be active. You need to be hardworking. Whatever you're doing, you need to engage it. God has put us on this planet to engage the planet. Don't forget, God to the Adam. God said, replenish the earth, multiply. So it means God put us here to engage this planet, to work hard. Romans 12 says, do not be slothful in business. You see that? There's no slothfulness if you know you have an assignment from God. But look at what it says next. That's verse 9. So verse 9 says, no room for laziness. Christianity or spirituality is not an excuse for laziness. You need to engage this planet. Now look, that's verse 9. Now, watch verse 10. What does it say in verse 10?
The name
the name of the Lord Can you see that? It's a strong tower. What it's simply saying is, engage this planet. Do your work with all rigor. Don't be lazy. But listen, don't use whatever it is in verse 9 to be a protection or a cover-up for yourself. That's why it says, the name of the Lord is what? A strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they what? Safe. Now, you know, a tower is like a stronghold. It's a protection.
A fortress.
It's a fortress. So what it's simply saying is, even though I told you in verse 9 to be hardworking, even though I said in verse 9 that you should engage this planet, even though I said there's no room for laziness, but still, know for sure that you need to run into the name of the Lord as a cover, as a protection. You cannot use those things as a protection. Those things cannot cover you. They cannot determine you. They cannot define you. And that's what it says in Proverbs 18, verse 9 and verse 10. You see, the problem...
No matter how glamorous, glorious, and how engaging the thing is.
You see, that's why we need to maintain the balance of spirituality. Some people, all in the name of being spiritual, of being Christians, have become so slothful. You see, they're not hardworking. They keep saying, you know what, I'm praying about this. They are found wanting. But the Bible says you need to work hard. You need to till. You see, just like it said Adam, you need to replenish the earth. But be careful to know that for your protection, for your cover up, you need the name
of the Lord.
The name of the Lord defines your worth. Mm. The name of the Lord defines your value. The name of the Lord is a sure protection. Now, if you notice, why do we need the name of the Lord to define? It says for what? For protection, for cover. That's the problem. For people, that's what happened to the younger brother. The question you want to ask yourself about the younger brother and the prodigal father story is, how come? How was it that he left the enclave, the care, the protection of the father's house, and went on a journey that made him connect himself, the Bible says, to the citizen of that country. Now, when the Bible talks about the citizen of the country, you know what that means. I believe you know the Bible says in Philippians 3 that our citizenship is in heaven. We don't have our citizenship here. But the Bible says whoever this younger brother connected with was a citizen of that country. Mm. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that we know that the devil, Satan, is the god of this world. If you're looking for the citizen of this world, you're talking about Satan. How did he leave the protection of the father? How did he leave the home? How did he leave the care at home and made himself vulnerable, and he began to have connection with the citizen of the country type of Satan? What happened? A search for identity. Can you see that? So what the Bible is simply saying to us is we have true cover and true protection in the name of the Lord. Even though we are actively engaging in this world, in verse 9, Proverbs 18, 9, we're not lazy. We're hardworking.
Even though we're working for the Father.
We're working really hard in this world. But it says, yet we are defined by
our
protection. Our protection, our strong tower is in the name of the Lord. Now, if we have such an understanding, it means Satan will not have any inroad into our lives. We will not be connected with the citizen of the country like it happened to the prodigal son.
So what I can glean from is, as much as we are involved in our profession, our callings, family life, ministry, we should not run into it.
No, that's the point. What
we don't run into our career.
We cannot run into them for protection.
And you know, some places too in that proverb, we was talking about how the weight is a defense.
Yeah.
For people. So that means it's like an alternative. People can run into their money. They can run into their influence and connection.
Yeah.
People can run into the networks they've built. They can run into family.
In fact, I may say this. People can run into religion.
Yes.
As a strong tower. Now, you see,
run into ministry work.
You can run into ministry if you're a minister as a strong tower. That's why I think last episode we made a reference to when Jesus did say that some will come to me in the last day and they will say, we cast out devils in your name, we prophesied in your name, and I would say, I don't what?
We know you're not.
See, if you say you don't know someone, it's about identity. You know, we're not connected. See, it means people can use anything, you know, as a protection. Don't run into anything. Engage this planet. Be hardworking in what you do as a profession, whatever you do. But the Bible says ultimately, we must glean, we must take our sense of value
and protection and cover
from the name of the Lord. Why? Why do we have to do that? Because that's where there's protection. He said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and they're what? They're saved. There is no protection anywhere else. Whatever you use for protection will blow off. I'll give an example. Now, that there's something we want to, you have a question with this?
No, I was just thinking of more on the Christ-centered identity, yeah?
Okay, good. Now, there's something I want us to have a look at as well. Now, Hebrews chapter 13, if you have that, it's about protection, really. It's about security. The security can only be in the name of the Lord. We're not protected if we use any other thing as a cover. Now, Hebrews 13, now from verse 5, you can read that.
Let your conversation be without covetousness.
It's a let your conversation, your lifestyle. I mean, how you live your life be without covetousness. Okay?
And be content with such things as ye have.
And be contented with what you have.
For he hath said,
okay,
I will never leave
thee. Now, watch this. Anytime we hear about contentment, we always talk about, oh, be happy with what you have. But that's half of the story. That's not complete. That's a half-truth. Asking someone to be happy with what they have. I mean, don't go for more. And we think that's what the scripture is saying. If it says don't go for more, it means that we're on contrary to, you know, Proverbs 18:9 that we read. Proverbs 18:9 says, well, you can't be lazy. You cannot say, oh yeah, I'm done. So no, you need to work hard. So it's not about just stopping short of making effort. That's what you think